Well, if you would turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1, we'll read a portion of it this morning, the last segment of it. Jonah chapter 1, and our reading this morning will be from verse 11 through verse 17 of this chapter. Following the reading of Scripture, we'll sing together the Gloria Patri. Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Amen. As we've been working our way through this interesting book, hopefully learning some very wonderful and important truths about the character of Almighty God, it is a book, as we, as I mentioned earlier, that critics love to criticize and to ridicule. How in the world could a man be swallowed by a large fish or a whale and live in it for 3 days? That's impossible. It couldn't happen. The book is just a fairy tale and not true. And then why in the world would God even have it in the Bible to begin with? Well, who would you trust? What testimony would you believe? What affirmation by what authority would you accept to affirm the truthfulness of this book? And even some of the critics, would they believe this person? Well, we have an important testimony in from the lips of Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. And what is his opinion of this particular book? So in Matthew 12:38, we find this. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here." And so we'll stop there, and you can come back to Jonah if you'd like. So we have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Is Jonah historical? Well, Jesus definitely believed it was. He taught that it was. He taught that historical events of his own life were going to parallel historical events of Jonah's life. And so if we're going to say Jonah was a fable, then we have to deny the historicity of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is historical and if he has authority, then we have to accept that Jonah is real and a historical event. But in addition, Jesus gives us help in thinking about, well, why is that book even in the Bible? And there are a lot of things beyond what Jesus says that are answers to that as well. But one of the things Jesus directs us to is that Jonah points us to Christ. Jonah is the picture. He's both a type and an antitype of Christ. Jesus is quite unlike Jonah. He's a prophet who does the will of his Father, unlike Jonah, who ran away from the will of the Father. But Jonah, events in Jonah's life are pointing us to Jesus Christ. And it's that which I want to direct your thoughts to this morning, especially as a hopeful preparation for us as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, is what are some of the ways that Jonah points us to Jesus Christ? A great Old Testament scholar, Edward E.J. Young, made these comments regarding this particular point. The fundamental purpose of the book of Jonah is not found in its missionary or universalistic teaching. It's rather to show that Jonah being cast into the depths of Sheol and yet brought up alive is an illustration of the death of the Messiah for sins not his own and of the Messiah's resurrection. Jonah was an Israelite and a servant of the Lord, and his experience was brought about because of the sins of the nations, Nineveh, and then I'll add later his own. The Messiah was the Israelite and true servant of the Lord whose death was brought about by the sins of the world. Thus, the experience of Jonah has as its basic purpose to point forward to the experience of the one who is greater than Jonah. And I want to give you 8 parallels between Jonah and Jesus Christ to help us think through how does Jonah point us to Jesus Christ. Well, and the first is that they both experienced a judgment against sin or because of sin. Both of them experienced that. Jonah, we know, got on that ship. He was fleeing from the Lord. He was trying to get as far away from God as he physically could possibly get. And as a consequence of his sin, as we're told there in verse 4 of Jonah 1, the Lord sent a storm. And the storm came upon that ship because of Jonah's sin. And he was going to have to be thrown overboard. He was suffering the consequences and the punishment due to his sin. And he experienced God's judgment because of that. The holy wrath of God pursued him. Well, in the same way, Jesus Christ, as he lives this life, but particularly as he approaches the end of his life, and as he's suffering on the cross, the whole creation darkens. And the darkness of the earth and perhaps thunder and lightning and storms, it was the storm of God's holy wrath was being poured out on Jesus Christ. He too experienced the judgment of God's wrath against sin. There is one significant difference, and that is Jonah was experiencing the judgment of God's wrath against sin because of his own sin. It was his sin that he was experiencing that judgment for. Whereas Jesus Christ was experiencing the holy wrath of God against sin, not for his sin, because he was holy, harmless, and undefiled. He committed no sin. He was experiencing that wrath because of your sin, because of my sin. But he had to experience, they both experienced the judgment of God against sin. They both experienced death, burial, and resurrection. Jonah was thrown overboard, and as he will talk about it in chapter 2, he finds himself sinking down into the abyss. He becomes buried in the heart of this fish. And then at the end of chapter 2, we're told that God commanded the fish to vomit him out onto dry land. He experienced a resurrection from the belly of the fish. Well, Jesus, too, after suffering the agonies of hell on the cross, dies, is buried to the heart of the earth. And he's resurrected. He was raised again on the third day. They both experienced death, burial, and resurrection. And again, the significant difference would be, well, Jonah, he had to face death again. The day would come when Jonah would have to face his own death when his life came to an end. The fulfillment in Jesus Christ is he experienced death, burial, and resurrection once for all, never to be repeated. And his resurrection is the guarantee that you, too, will share in the glory of that life to come because of him and his finished work. A third parallel is that both were sacrificed for the sake of others. In the sense, I've already kind of implied that with Jesus' death, but Jonah, he died, or had to die, to spare others. The sailors had come to Jonah and they had asked him, what can we do to still this storm? And Jonah had to say, well, the only way this storm is going to be stilled is for you to throw me overboard. I have to die for you to be saved. And the same thing is true for us. How can we be delivered from the judgment against our own sin? There's only one way. Jesus had to die that we might be spared. Without his death, we have no hope. Matthew Henry writes, Jonah is here in a type of Christ that he gives his life as a ransom for many. But with the material difference that the storm Jonah gave himself up to still was of his own making. But the storm which Christ gave himself up to still was of our making. Yet as Jonah delivered himself up to be cast into the raging sea that it might be calm, so did our Lord Jesus when he died that we might live. He died for our sake. There's another parallel between them, and that is both of them voluntarily surrendered themselves to death. Now, we don't know all what was going on in Jonah's mind. We don't know that he wasn't maybe a little grudging, perhaps, at least maybe grudging, and have to admit that he was the cause of the storm. Remember, the captain had to find him, and he was asleep in the belly of the ship. But when it finally came down to it, and the sailors had asked him, what do we do? He voluntarily surrendered himself to be thrown overboard. You got to throw me overboard. And then he was willing for that to be done. But our perfect and loving Savior did, in a sense, far more. He came to the point of death, not because of his own sin, it's because of our sin, but he willingly surrendered himself. He voluntarily, he didn't have to do this in one sense. The Father asked him to do it, and he said, I will do it. He voluntarily undertook to lay his life down for you and for me. And in John 10, when Jesus is explaining his role as the Good Shepherd, he says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And he goes on, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus voluntarily gave himself up for you and for me. A fifth comparison between Jonah and Christ is they both experienced the depths of hell, of separation from God. If you look ahead in Jonah chapter 2, which we'll talk about more in the future, in verse 2, he says, in my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me, from the depths of the grave, from the depths of Sheol, I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the abyss, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled around me. And all your waves and breakers swept over me, and I said, I have been banished from your sight. Jonah experienced separation from God, being thrown into the depths of the sea and swallowed by that fish. Well, Jesus Christ, in a far more poignant way, he experienced that separation from God. Remember, it was in the garden when he was praying with such agony that his sweat was as drops of blood. Because he was overwhelmed, as he said to his disciples, I'm overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. And then when he's experiencing on the cross that separation from God, the ultimate experience of hell, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus Christ experienced hell for you and me on the cross. He experienced that sense of being thrown into the abyss and separated from God. A sixth comparison is that they both experienced the resurrection. Jonah had sank down to the depths of the sea, and as he will describe it, to the roots of the mountains. But then at the end of chapter 2, we're told that God commanded the fish to vomit him out on the ground. He experienced a resurrection from that fish. That he could begin life anew after going through that experience, where we know that Christ is a more glorious fulfillment of that. Jonah was a pale type of Jesus' great fulfillment. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. And his great and glorious resurrection was a reality that you and I have great hope because of. A seventh comparison is that the result of both men's death, burial, and resurrection is the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles. When Jonah came out of the fish, God came to him a second time and said, go and preach to Nineveh. And he went and preached. And God brought a great revival in that city. One of the glorious works of Christ's redemption after he died and was buried and rose again is that then now the gospel goes forward to Jew and to Gentile. And throughout all parts of the world, he told the disciples in his great commission, go into all the world and disciple the nations. And they're to take the gospel to every part of the globe. This is the mystery that Paul said was revealed through Christ. In Ephesians 3, he talks about that. And the role given to him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And then lastly, just in sort of a summary, is both Jonah's experience and Christ's experience demonstrate the great and mighty power of God. When we just read Jonah's experience, and how can we avoid the thought that God is a mighty God accomplishing his great work? He sends the storm. He calms the sea as soon as Jonah's in the sea. He has this great fish that he has prepared that swallows Jonah. And he keeps him alive in the fish, which is an amazing thing to begin with. Keeps him alive in the fish for 3 days. He has them thrown out of the fish and sends them on into Nineveh to preach God's word to them. And does a mighty work through that word in the hearts of these people who were vicious, hardened, pagan unbelievers. And here we have in the mighty work of Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, a demonstration of the mighty power that is at work for us. In Ephesians 1, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. God demonstrated in his work through Christ his mighty power so that you and I might know that while we are powerless, God is not. God has all might and all power to do the work in our hearts, in the hearts of our loved ones, in our world, to protect us, to be with us, no matter what circumstances there are that come to our life. And it's the work of Christ that demonstrates in a mighty way the power of Almighty God. So what do we do with this information? We have Jonah pointing us to Christ. We have the revelation of Christ. What do we do with all of that? Well, Jesus gave us the direction. He said on the last day, the men of Nineveh are going to stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But now one greater than Jonah is here. You see, we have the one who is greater than Jonah before us. We have that one proclaiming and preaching to us through his word this very day. What are we going to do with that word? Who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to trust? Who are we going to follow? Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples are gathered there and the cloud of God comes down around them after Peter's made his suggestion, well, we ought to build tents and stay here after Jesus' visit with Elijah and Elisha, or Moses and Elijah. And what does the Father say out of the cloud? He says to the disciples, this is my beloved Son whom I love. Listen to him. What do we do with this information of Jonah pointing us to Christ? It's to tell us we need to listen to him. It's his word that is our authority. It's his word that directs our lives. Jonah could only point the way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. We don't have a Jonah. We have a greater than Jonah. In the verses that followed what I read from Matthew 12, Jesus goes on to say, and the Queen of Sheba is going to rise at the judgment and condemn this generation because she came from a far distance to listen to Solomon, and one greater than Solomon is here. Do you need the wisdom of God? It's through Christ and his word that we have it. Do you need the truth of God? It's through Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, that we have it. You and I need to come to the Savior and trust in him and listen to him and follow him. And remember that as he died, we died with him. And as he rose, we rose with him. We find our hope and our peace, our identity, our truth, our purpose through Christ. May you trust in him and hope in him, the one who is greater than Jonah. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the glory of your word, how it so richly directs us to Christ, how this story of Jonah, interesting in many respects, is preeminently to point us to your Son, Jesus Christ. May we see him in these events and be pointed to love and follow him and believe in him and trust in him now and for the rest of our lives. May we find our hope and peace in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.